Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Tell me what you want to be when you get older.
Fashion designer.
I want to be a basketball player.
I want to be one of the best singers.
I want to be a modeler.
I want to be a songman.
I want to be a running singer.
I want to be an
actress.
Producer.
I want to be a model.
Hello, boys and girls. How are you doing?
Great. I just want to also thank all the boys and girls for coming back today, because you know, Aunt Jewel, you know, Starfish, it must be Sunday, because all the boys and girls are all with their family, and they don't have any school today, and they're home, and they're just relaxing and getting ready for the next day ahead. Now, we know that it's family tradition for all of us to get together, mommies, daddies, grandma, nana, grandfather, poppy, aunts and uncles, babysitters, and people who just care to make bedtime very fun. So, Starfish, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, yes, of course. On this cold, wintry day, I know some of you have sunshine on the West Coast, but here on the East Coast, we have snow.
Oh, and you know that's a very special time.
Oh, yes.
And also, we'll be talking later, because it's a special time for all the birds and the ducks and the geese, because they have to get ready to go someplace for the spring. But I know, boys and girls, that you want to be able to share your family tradition, getting ready for bed. Shorter days?
Yes, boys and girls, what are your family traditions? Do you like to go snuggle up with Grandma and Pop-Pop?
Or you might want to be able to tell them that I'm not tired. I don't want to go to bed yet. So you want to know, what do they do to get ready? Now, I know that some of you are probably thinking, now when the sun goes down and the moon is not quite up, they're probably saying, looking at their watch and saying, can we stay up a little bit longer? But all the parents are looking at their clock and looking at their watch and saying, not just time for us to stay up, so let's all gather around and get the moms and the dads and the grandmas, Poppy, cuddles, and you may have to pull Dad, because guess what? The game's on, and he might want to do something else. So what do you think that they should probably get ready for, or get ready for bedtime, Star? What do they think they should do?
To get ready for bedtime, well, some of our guest co-hosts have said that they like to have hot milk. Oh, doesn't that sound so good right now at this time? Others like to put on their PJs, their favorite PJs. Maybe it might be SpongeBob, or it might be Mickey Mouse. It's all different, and some people have their favorite stuffed animal, like a teddy bear, or even a rubber ducky.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And, of course, they have to get that bath, because they've got those dirty clothes on, and we know what you have to do for the dirty clothes. Now, where do you put the dirty clothes?
Where do you put the dirty clothes? On your bed? No. Under the table in the kitchen? No, I don't think that's a good one. I think you put it in a dirty hamper that you might have in your room, or you might even share with your brother and sister.
Now, I know that some of you think, okay, so you've got to take a bath, and your mommy and daddy are saying that you're dirty, but you don't put yourself in the wash machine. And, of course, Starfish, you don't have to worry about that because you are in the ocean.
Yes, where it's all, I'm around water 24/7. So I just go outside my little cave and just take a bath in the nice, clean ocean.
Right, so what we want everyone to do is we're going to get ready to take a bath and get our toothbrush.
That's cool.
What?
Do you hear that? I think I hear birds traveling. I wonder if they're going to the warmer location.
They probably are, but you know what? Before we even talk about that, why don't we get everybody with the getting ready for bath, because that's what we were talking about. And let's hear the Rubber Ducky song. So they have to get ready to get in the bathtub. So
Rubber Ducky by Cedar Mount Kids.
Here I am in the bathtub again. I got my soap. I got my Superman scrub brush. I got my loofah. I got my shampoo. I got my washcloth and I got a big old fluffy towel to dry myself when I get out. But you know what else I got to make bathtub time the best time of my day? I bet you know what it is. I bet you got one too. It's my special pal. Let's sing about him now.
Get ready, boys and girls.
Rubber ducky, you're the one.
Oh, no.
You're the one.
You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Bo-bo-bo-dee-o, rubber ducky, joy of joy. When I squeeze you, you make noise. Rubber ducky, you're my very best friend, it's true. Every day when I make my way to the tubby,
get ready.
Rubber ducky, you're so fine, and I'm lucky that you're mine. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. All right, y'all, let's get wet.
Oh, I love Rubber Ducky. Don't you want
so much fun? Yes, it is so much fun. So much fun.
Now, Aunt Jewel, do you have any shout-outs? I certainly do.
Oh, well, you want to do yours first?
Sure. I'd like to give a shout-out to our favorite little girls, Melina and Alana. And I know they are loving the snow. Sometimes, boys and girls, you can even make snow angels, sort of like the shape that I am in the water. But it's in the snow.
And I know that their grandma is having such a great time. She always has a great time on the weekend. She always visits them.
Oh, yes. They are a great joy. And I would also like to give a shout-out to Tony Jr., Jaden, and also Ashley, Little Dunk, and many, many more. I just have so many great friends.
Right, Tiana, Kendall, Taya, James, of course. And we can't forget Phelan. She would have a fit if we just only spoke about her brother.
Of course. And Jalen and Kaylin.
And Aylin. With Christopher, who's growing larger every time we see him. And Duncan. And Ashley and Christina Nicole, Aaron, and Jason. And that's just a few of the boys and girls. And you know that even if we didn't mention your name, we want to say good day, too, because we're getting ready for bedtime.
Good day, boys and girls. I think I hear it again. What does that sound like, Aunt Jo? I think they're birds.
Ooh. It's that special time of the year, too. They know exactly when to come up. Because, you know, a lot of times, starfish, we don't see them very much around this time.
No. I hear them. They must be traveling in their family pack.
Right, when
and how do they even know where to go when there's no road signs in the sky?
I know, it's kind of difficult, but they know that when it's shorter days and longer nights, they know this is the time to go look for more food and a warmer place.
They just have, I guess it's called an instinct.
Very much so, just like babies. And just like some of you out there, you know when you're hungry, you cry and cry because you know it's time to have some milk.
Exactly. Boys and girls, I'd like to give you a special tip. Now, at the Ocean Scholastic Inc., of course where I came from, the first discovery book is called All Kinds of Little Creatures Live Hidden Beneath the sand at the beach. At low tide, hungry birds would swoop down and find their food. Now you'll see types of birds that are by where I live, where I come from, boys and girls, and they are seagulls, oyster crackers, snow geese, Arctic tern, barn swallows, hummingbirds, northern orioles, and Kirkland warblers, bald eagles, and many, many more. Can you believe all those different types of birds are just in my own neighborhood?
Yes, and I bet you they probably are wondering, how can I find anything out about the birds? How do I know who they are?
I know they are wondering that.
Now, I know that you probably know, starfish, what some of the names are because they come and visit the ocean. Now, of course, when the seasons change, it gets harder and harder for the birds and animals to find food and shelter. Now, this is why people, they do the same thing. They leave for warmer climate. They go to Florida or the islands or California. And people are not the only ones that leave. Birds go south for a warmer climate and food. And as you said before, they call it migration. Now, like people or parents, birds always know when to go. And we have a couple of books we'd like to share with you.
Yes, Florida Scrub.
Right.
You are right, Aunt Joel. Birds do live everywhere, all different types of birds, and they just know exactly when to leave and at exactly the right time.
Isn't that something, that be able to know that? They can find out by the sun and the moon and the earth. It's just
that
like,
is truly amazing.
Yeah. It's just like, how do babies know when to ask for something to drink? How do babies know when they're wet?
Exactly. They have that feeling. And I'm excited for you to read your book, This Way Home, by Lisa Westberg.
So am I. So are you ready, boys and girls? Do you have that favorite teddy bear? Is your pillow all plushed up for you?
Oh, wait, let's make sure Gramps is in the room to snuggle up with his granddaughter. And make sure you have your favorite slippers on.
Of course.
Let you enjoy the ride of the birds.
And I know they have their favorite pajamas on, so I think that they're quite ready. Now, as Starfish told you, the name of this book is called This Way Home. Now, we're getting ready to read. I hear the birds in the background already.
They're ready to listen, too.
Right, they're getting ready for the formation. And there's usually always a bird that is the leader. Just like in your family, you've got the leaders. And a lot of times, that's Mommy and Daddy. Now, September on the northern prairie dawned clear and cold. As the days grew shorter, a flock of young birds grew restless, skittering through the grass and filling up on seeds. For the first time, they would be leaving their summer home to fly south to their winter home, a place they had never seen. The young bird had hatched in the spring with the sense of rhythm of the day and the seasons. They also knew which way and how far to fly. Now, to help them stay on the right path, they had three compasses, which we talked about, didn't we, boys and girls? The sun, the star, and the earth itself. I wonder if they're excited to be able to go on a trip, just like you do when you go see Grandpa or Grandma or your cousins. Now, they waited until the sun sank in the west to begin their journey. A brisk north wind was their signal to leave. They flew over a single cottonwood, a string of lakes, and a cluster of willows, keeping the sun fading light to their right. This way, the sun seemed to say, "This way home." Don't you get excited when you go someplace, Starfish?
Oh, yes, especially the night before. I can't even sleep.
I know, the anticipation just makes you all jittery inside. The raccoons, they're out at night. They're looking in the sky and beginning to see some birds fly ahead. Now, later in the black of night, the birds didn't have the glow of twilight to guide them, but they knew that the stars in the north appears to stay still. Now, while the others appeared to sweep across the sky, the birds flew on, recognizing the patterns of stars. This way home, the stars seemed to say. Now, like a giant magnet, the earth also helped the young birds stay on the right path. Whenever clouds hid the fading sunlight or the stars, the birds relied on a third clue, the changing angles of the earth, invisible magnetic field. The earth seems to be saying, this way home. Now that's really good to be able to have not only one way, but two ways and maybe even a third. Long before the sun rose, the next day the birds stopped for 3 days. They rested and filled up on seeds and bugs in a farmer's hayfield. The young birds pressed on, flying at night, then resting for a few days. So it seems, Starfish, that they take their time when they're going.
Yes, they certainly are not in any rush. They're traveling together with their family and have had plans and doing it every single year.
And it also appears that they're very confident in their leaders with being able to show them the way. Just like children, you're very confident that your mommy and daddy and grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles are right there to be able to help guide you. Now, one night, the strong winds of thunderstorms scattered the flock. Sick, 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 they called to one another as they circled. The monstrous tower of black clouds. Some birds died, and in the storm, and others were blown far off course, separated forever from the rest of the flock. Now, for weeks, the flock flew over snaky rivers and towns with blinking lights. Even though the birds were weary and no longer so plump, they kept flying. By now, the night skies were filled with birds of all kinds flying south. At last, the birds saw waves lapping up the Gulf Shore and heard the whisper of warm, salty breeze. They had flown more than 1,000 miles in nearly a month. This was their winter home.
1,000 miles.
Yes,
wow.
1,000. And we can hear those birds in the background chirping away.
Yes, we can.
They spent the winter together on sun-dazzled sand dunes. A few birds died when the icy storms blew on, when hungry foxes caught them, but most survived the winter, healthy and strong. Now, as the spring days grew longer, the flock grew restless. The birds were almost a year old. It was time to build a nest and lay eggs, time to return to their summer home. Once again, they would use 3 compasses to stay on the right path: the sun, the stars, and the magnet Earth. A warm south wind was their signal to leave. On the return trip, the Snaky River and the towns with blinking lights looked familiar, but the birds did not stop. They kept flying. Towards the end of their journey, clear skies gave way to fog over a farmer's field. The fog confused the birds as they stopped, and some of them strayed miles off their course. They stopped for the night, lost. For days, the birds remained lost. It seems as if they would never make it home. Which way, they seemed to ask. Which way home? But finally, because they had made the trip once before, they sensed where they were and where they needed to go, almost as if they had a map. Now, they corrected their course and continued on their journey. After a month of flying, the birds flew past a cluster of willows, a string of lakes, and single cottonwoods. April on the northern prairie dawned fresh and cool, like the new green shoots of grass. A bird sat on the fence post and sang a new song, buzzy trill that announced, "This is home, this is home."
Wow, home means so much, and it took so much traveling, so much planning, dedication all the way just to get to their home. And some people just walk right next door just to go home. Imagining having to travel thousands and thousands of miles just to get home.
Yeah, and it's something that even though they got off course, they lost their way because of the clouds, they just still had confidence that they would be able to find their way back.
Exactly, Aunt Jewel. Confidence and determination that they will get home to the rest of their family.
Right. Now, we know that sometimes parents, as well as animals, they get signs that things are going to happen that could be good or dangerous, or maybe it could be something that is unfamiliar. Now, it's important to know the difference and know what to do. And that's what those birds did. Despite the fact that they weren't familiar with the trail that they were going because of the clouds, they waited until the clouds all disappeared. And soon they were able to find their way. Now, parents give us rules when to go to bed or how to eat or maybe what we should wear. Now, the animals know by the seasons, the sun and the stars, and even the earth. And that's why parents also are very similar to that because they are leaders.
Exactly. And also, Aunt Jewel, this is exactly why we have to protect our animals. And it doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. For example, students at Pelican Island Elementary School in Florida, they raised money to purchase 20 acres, not
wow.
just school footage, acres of land near school to protect them. Or adults not spraying dangerous chemicals such as DDT that poison the water, plants, or even trees. It's really important just to think about our environment because our environment is their home, too. And sometimes birds get confused at night when office buildings have bright lights, causing them to get distracted and cause them to crash into the building. So turning off lights not only saves and consumes energy, but it also helps those birds find their way home and navigate using the natural light, which is coming from the stars and the moons.
You know, I think that is really good for boys and girls to know that you don't have to be an adult to know how to be helpful and know what kinds of things you can do. And certainly to hear an elementary school in Florida raise enough money to buy 20 acres, it just lets us know that we all can be able to do something.
Exactly. It doesn't matter the age. As we know, our great friend and co-host Isaac started his own organization. So as long as you have the heart and the dream and the determination, like those birds who flew all the way across to warm weather, you can attain your goal.
Right, because also Eden, she started her own foundation, too, to help other people. So, boys and girls,
exactly.
You can be able to do the same thing. Starfish, you're doing things to help the ocean.
Exactly. Keeping it clean.
And, of course, we want to thank Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, for having us here again on Sundays. And I want to thank you, boys and girls, for joining Aunt Jewel's Bedtime Stories.
Of course. And boys and girls, since we're talking about my favorite friends and neighbors, I would like to introduce you to a song. Would you like to hear it, Aunt Jewel?
Of course, of course. And I know that Deidre would too.
Oh, yes. This song is called Once I Saw a Little Bird by Children's DJ. Here we go, boys and girls. Get ready. Boys and girls, I know where he flew off to his home and into his environment with the rest of his family.
Well, I think I would love to hear this story. Calvin can't fly.
Oh, yes, boys and girls. I'm so excited to tell you about the story that I'm going to read. This one is called Calvin Can't Fly. So just like from the song, the bird was hopping and hopping, but I guess didn't get up to the sky. Now this story is called Calvin Can't Fly by Jennifer Burney. illustrated by Keith Bendis. Get ready, boys and girls. Get your favorite Snuggie. Here
we go.
I'm
ready, too.
Into Dreamland. Calvin is a starling. He was born under the eaves of an old barn with his three brothers, four sisters, and 67,432. I need to take a drink of water.
That's a large family.
Yes, yes. Starlings have big families. Right from the beginning, Calvin, you could tell, he was different. Big, big family, boys and girls, big family. So, as we said, right from the beginning, Calvin was different. Right from the day all the little starlings tumbled out of their nest to discover the world, Charlie discovered worms, Adeline discovered grass, Clement discovered dirt, Aubrey discovered water, and Calvin, well, he discovered a book. While all of Calvin's cousins chased beetles and bugs and ants, Calvin was learning to read letters, words, and sentences. At night, his cousins dreamed of insect eating and garbage picking. Calvin, he dreamed of adventure stories, legends, and poetry. He even dreamed that someday he'd become a great writer himself. And on June 1st, when all the little starlings lined up for the flying lessons with their teacher, Mr. Wingstead, Calvin was nowhere to be seen. Where is that bird? Actually, Calvin was in the library. As the other little starlings were learning to swoop and hover and fly, figure eights, whee! Calvin buried his beak in books, and there his mind soared. Calvin read about pirates and cavemen, volcanoes and rainbows, whales and dinosaurs. Calvin especially loved the dinosaurs. He learned how the planets circle the sun, or what makes the wind blow, and amazing facts like how caterpillars grow up to be butterflies. His book took him to places wings never could, and his heart fluttered with excitement. Calvin's cousins called him Nerdy Birdie, Nerdy Birdie, Geeky Beaky, Bookworm. And when you're a bird, being called a worm is a very bad thing. Calvin ruffled his feathers and mumbled, "Oh, how the wounding words of scorn do sting." Then he sadly waddled back to the library, the only place where he was happy. And so he spent all summer reading, learning, absorbing everything his little starling mind could. Everything. Until the first leaf turned orange and fell to the ground. The fall wind sent a chill through the old barn. Summer's nest blew to the flood floorboards. It was time to head south. His cousins warned Calvin. Calvin, you better learn to fly. In a couple of days, we've got to be out there. Calvin said, "Ah, yes, migration. I've read about that." His sister asked, "Calvin, can you fly?" Calvin had to admit he couldn't. All of the other starlings took off in a giant formation, but Calvin could only stand and watch. A big, lonely tear rolled down his cheek. Calvin turned and shrugged back toward the old barn. He was so upset. He didn't even notice his brothers and sisters and cousins coming back to get him. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they're tying up Calvin's middle with string and scraps of cloth that they had found in garbage. They grasped the other end with their beaks, and off they flew, with Calvin somewhat embarrassed, safely in tow. For days and days they flew. Calvin recognized the rivers, the mountains, and towns he had read about all summer. Excitedly, he pointed them out to his brothers, sisters, and cousins. But the other little starlings just flapped their wings and headed south. Soon there came a day when the wind blew especially hard. Trees bent sideways, leaves scattered wildly. Flying became harder and harder. The air had an odd smell to it. Smells like danger. Calvin, remembering back to his favorite weather book, warned the rest of his family, "A hurricane! A hurricane! It's coming!" All of his brothers and sisters and cousins asked, "What? What's a hurricane?" Calvin explained as quickly as his little beak could. "We need to get out of here. We need to get out of the path of violent tropical weather system, which is storming up the coast at a tremendous speed, and will not diminish until it encounters large stretches of landmass. Everybody, make haste into that cave." They had no clue what Calvin was even saying, but they had to admit, it did sound real. So the flock made a loop-de-loop left, a dipsy-doodle right, and dove into the cave. They did everything Calvin told them to. And to their amazement, a great storm did blow across the land. It thundered over the mountains. It roared through the villages. It smashed and crashed, rumbled and raged, just as Calvin predicted. The whole family, big starling family, gathered together, watching in fear and awe. The storm finally ended. The sun came out in the sky, and starlings came out of their cave. They were safe and sound, all because of Calvin. They celebrated with a great starling party in honor of Calvin. They ate big, juicy worms and yummy, crunchy beetles. They danced and sang songs about how Calvin had saved their lives. They toasted Calvin with the acorn cap filled with fresh, clear mountain water. Calvin was so happy and felt so good deep down inside that he jumped and hopped and danced and flapped his wings, flap, 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 and flapped his wings and flapped his wings. All of the other starlings looked at him in amazement. "Calvin, you can fly!" they exclaimed. And Calvin, the happiest starling in the whole wide world, chirped, "Why, yes, I do believe I can." And they all flew south with big, wide smiles on their little starling faces, especially Calvin. The end.
What a sense of accomplishment for Calvin. Who knew?
I know. And that is what a true leader, what one may not have think. One may not have thought that he was a leader, but he led his whole entire family.
And you know what, Starfish? It was the perfect time at that moment.
Exactly. He felt, he had that feeling that we talked about, that feeling of danger. Sometimes parents may feel that feeling, and they just know this is the wrong turn, and we need to stay back.
And the other thing that I loved about the story was that they talked about going to the library. That's what Calvin did. And despite the fact that people were, and the other birds, his other cousins and his other brothers and sisters are like going, "Why are you going there?" But
exactly.
That is like the most favorite place in the world for me. Now, of course, it's better to go to the places, but it does help you prepare, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. And he, like the book said, was able to soar through his imagination. Just like when we read our storybooks, you're able to soar through dreamland.
Right, the imagination sometimes. You don't have to sometimes visit it, but when you do visit, you know exactly what to be able to do because this is some place that you know that you've been before, despite the fact that it may even be in your mind.
Exactly. And you just need to relax.
Right.
The boys and
girls. Go ahead. You're exactly right, to relax.
Exactly.
Now, I hope you love that story, boys and girls, because I certainly loved it. And I know that, Casey, out there, you loved it because you love to go to the library and get a lot of books. And we also know that Kindle, that's what she does all the time. She's always reading books, 5 and 6, 7 books all the time. That's why she's a reviewer.
Yes, it is. She's able to not only soar through her imagination, but write the story to tell as well.
And the other thing that the story told us is that because sometimes we all have different timetables in our development or in our head or when we do certain things, because some of us may walk sooner than others, or some of us may come out of an egg like the birds quicker than some. And some people, and some boys and girls, may color inside the lines, but then later on they may learn how to color within the lines. Or some may want different times to go to bed.
Yes.
I'm not ready yet, Mom.
Can we soar through Corinne Bailey Ray's song?
Oh, let's see.
Are they sleepy yet? Are they ready for it?
Well, they might not quite be ready because they might want me to read the book from Oliver because I don't think that they're sleepy yet. And I know it's the favorite time for the parents, but I think maybe we might start it all. Let's see. Should we start it a little bit now or should we read a little bit of the story about Oliver, who couldn't go to bed, who couldn't go to sleep.
I think we still have some boys and girls who are trying to keep those eyes open. One eye is closing, but the other one is still remaining wide awake. So let's get them another story into dreamland.
I think you're right, Starfish. You definitely have a good timetable. Now, this book is called Oliver, Who Would Not Sleep. Because as we said, and you asked the question, are you sleepy yet? Well, Oliver, who would not sleep, was written by Mara Bergman and Nick Malin. Oliver, Dominican, Remington, Sneep, couldn't and didn't and would not sleep. It wasn't that he was afraid of the dark, of monsters or robbers or sounds from the park, but that Oliver, Donegan, Remington, Sneep liked staying awake more than going to sleep. After his parents had kissed him goodnight, they tucked him in snugly and turned off the light. Straight away, Oliver bounced out of bed. He painted and drew, did magic. He raced all his cars and he raced them some more. And just as he blasted his rocket, he saw the night with rooftops and trees and an owl in flight. Then Oliver's rocket flew fast and flew far over houses and cities and up to the stars, past the moon and past comets, till it landed on Mars, a wonderful, fabulous, wide open place, smack dab in the middle of all of the dark spaces. Now Oliver stood and Oliver stared. without even being the slightest bit scared. As nighttime grew cold, a streak of light flashed through the sky, shining warmly and bright. Oliver saw his house far away and wanted to go back home to play. Through outer space, over mountains and seas, through clouds over rooftops and branches of trees, the rocket soared back to Oliver's room, where all of his cuddlies looked cozy and warm. So cozy and warm. But bats and owls and Fox and Ted were waiting for him to climb into bed. So with a great big stretch and a great long, long, long yawn, Oliver, Dungington, Remington, Sneep, finally, fell asleep. Good night.
That almost put me to sleep. That was great, Aunt Joel.
It was. It was. It almost put me there, too. So we would have been able to say, you definitely are sleepy yet. And this is the favorite time of Nana and Poppy and Mommy. And Daddy is already gone off to the side room. It's a special song because when we look at you boys and girls with your eyes closed and just breathing in and out ever so softly, looking so innocent, we play that very special song. Just
looking
like
a star.
Oh,
looking
you
like
got
a
it.
Friend.
You got it.
Just Like a Star by Corinne Bailey Ray, boys and girls.
Just like a star across my sky, just like an angel off the page, you have appeared to my life. Feel like I'll never be the same. Just like a song in my heart, just like oil on my hands. And I wonder why it is I don't argue like this with anyone but you. You do it all the time, blowing out my mind. You got this look I can't describe.
Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul.
Cause we've been through that before.
boys and girls to sleep.
Oh, it is.
How we love Corinne Bailey Ray.
Oh, yes. We have to be so, so quiet.
Yes.
We don't want to wake them. Right? We don't want to wake them.
We don't.
But you know what? I think, Starfish, we have some friends. We've made more friends.
Yes, we've made more friends. And now, boys and girls, we just even increased our amount of friends with the birds that we see. And now you'll be able to recognize and know that we all share the same environment and we can all be friends. So, boys and girls, as you know, always on Tool Radio Show, you've got a friend. You've always got a friend in Aunt Jewel, and you've always got a friend with Starfish. You've got
yes,
a friend by me. By Randy Newman.
The Oscar winner. We're so glad that we have more friends. We never can have enough friends. Not even cousins.
You got a friend in me.
Oh, yes, you do.
You got a friend in me.
And we're glad.
You have a friend in all of us.
When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past is. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
We'll even take more. Bring them all here.
Love,
you
friend.
Got a friend in me.
You're right. Sorry,
you
baby.
Got a friend in me.
New one, old
you got
one.
Trouble. I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together to see it through. Cause you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, big and stronger too.
Blake Radio Network loves friends.
But none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me and you, boy. And as the years go by, our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our gas done. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
You've got a friend in all of us. Good night, Duncan. Good night, Shauna. Good night, Aunt Jewel.
Good night. But I wanted to thank all the boys and girls for coming because this week our theme was providing and caring for others and creating a safe environment. And certainly that's what we were trying to do and talk about the birds migrating. Don't you think, Starfish?
Oh, yes. We've learned that friends like Calvin can be true leaders, and our little friend Oliver, even though it may take him a while to go to bed, he will eventually goes off to dreamland. And we learned about our environment that it's really important to take care of, because we have friends and family that are trying to use that environment to navigate to their home.
Yeah, we did learn a lot. We learned that there is also some special songs to be able to help us even get into the mood and help us to understand about what was going on with the books and getting you ready for sleep and bedtime. We also had four books that were really wonderful books, and you can be able to go to your library just like what Calvin did. We had number one, This Way Home, Calvin Can't Fly, and Starfish, you want to name the other two?
Yes. Our other two was Oliver Can't Go to Sleep.
Right. And we were going to read Super Duck. That was our next one. Be able
and to you'll definitely have to stay tuned for that one.
Oh,
but
definitely.
Boys and girls, would you like to dream off into dreamland with our ducks that are flying south? Would you like to do that, Aunt Jewel?
Oh, I definitely would like to do that. We have 2 minutes, and I just want to say thank everyone for joining us at Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and Aunt Jewel's Bedtime Stories. And I want you to join us next week, next Sunday at 7:30. And just go ahead, go to our internet, and you can be able to see us again and hear from us and be able to hear all the other wonderful stories that we've been able to share with you. And remember, go to your library so that you can be able to enrich your mind just like Calvin.
Good night, my friends. Good night, Aunt Jewel.
Good night, Starfish. You'll be going back to the ocean. Visit your bird sanctuary. Every town has one. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.